Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:27, that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 15th. And a number of dynamics in the market today, and not least in China, where there is increasing speculation following Hong Kong Exchange's quarterly results, where they said that they've got everything ready for the Shenzhen-Hong Kong connection, and they're just waiting on regulatory approval. And on the back of that, the CSI 300 jumped on the upside. It moved to a new recovery high and is trading above the 200-day moving average. The H-share index is pulling away now from the region of the MA, and the Hang Seng, which has been leading throughout, was also up. And of course, there is an additional aspect to the Hong Kong shares, is that they have some of the lowest PEs and highest yields of any large cap market around. So they have potential to play catch up, and not least because emerging markets generally this year have been on a firmer tone, that a lot of the currency market depreciation, which saw currencies like the Indonesian rupiah trend lower for years, have come to an end, and that's generally a green light for international investors to get interested in emerging markets once more. So China is worth watching, but it was a positive day in India as well, and it was generally positive tone right across the region, and Vietnam had a good day as well. In the commodity markets in here today, gold was up about $4. Platinum was down over $12, so that has broken its short-term progression of higher reaction lows. But silver is still very steady in the region of the $20 area, and part of the reason that you've had strength right across the commodity sector generally today is because there's been a little bit of dollar weakness. Bets that the Fed is going to be aggressive in raising rates, or might not even raise rates at all this year, are being sidelined, and the stock market has been generally firm. The Nasdaq was up about 0.5% in here today, the S&P up about 0.3%, but they both continue to extend their respective breakouts. So we're continuing to see that yield compression in the equity markets is very much in favor. And bond markets were a little bit weaker in here today. So we're seeing that some of that panicky buying that we saw in the aftermath of the Brexit vote is being unwound, but in the absence of any central bank abandoning their quantitative easing and aggressively raising interest rates, it's hard to imagine that we're going to have bond yields spiking higher in the short term, rather that what we're seeing is a relatively gradual reversion back up towards the mean in terms of the yield. It would really require sustained moves above those trend means before we could really consider that a peak of more short-term significance has been seen for bond prices or a low for yields. And with a little bit of dollar weakness, it was a generally firm day on the commodity market. So the precious metals were reasonably steady, but oil has extended its rebound. It was up $1.30 on WTI in here today, and this is three good strong up days in a row. So that's a low of at least near-term significance, and it's also from the region of the 200-day MA. So then we're into this right-hand extension phase for oil prices. We've had a sharp pullback. We're getting an equally sharp rebound. The really big question is whether a move to sustained new highs or new recovery highs can really occur, when the most likely scenario is for ranging. But what we can anticipate is that there is going to be a volatile environment overall. But with that dollar weakness, it was generally firm for just about all commodities. So the CCI index, which is a continuous commodity index, which is unweighted, continues to look like it is going to find support in the region of the 200-day moving average. And then a number of commodities which have been really accelerating on the downside found some support on Friday, and again improved upon that in here today. So lean hogs, which had pulled back from its intraday high on Thursday, was firm on Friday and then pushed on to new recovery highs in here today. Soybeans in particular has found support in the region of the 200-day moving average. Rough rice was up about 5% in here today, and that's also coming off of an accelerated decline, which had now found support in the region of previous lows. And right across the agricultural sector, we're starting to see that some demand is coming back in. When we look at the coffee contracts or the sugar contracts or cocoa, then there is also evidence that lows of short-term significance have been found, but the moves that we've had have not been in the same kind of dynamic fashion that we saw in some of the other softs. And by and large, that is helping to really say to us that any sense of dollar weakness at all is being used as a catalyst to buy commodities, that they are responding much more favorably to dollar weakness than they are pulling back when you have dollar strength. And that is generally speaking, or at least that helps to confirm that it is an overall bull market environment for commodities, but they are characteristically volatile, and that the best time to purchase them is when they've had these big pullbacks, because they do get them. And it isn't that we can say, oh, that we're not going to have big pullbacks in commodities, because that is just the nature of the market. When we look at the global markets such as they are, then there are two big topics, and one is liquidity, and just about all central banks are engaged in some form of quantitative easing or monetary stimulus. An increasing number are engaged in fiscal stimulus, and the number of countries that are likely to engage in additional or fiscal stimulus is likely to increase, and that is generally positive for stock markets. So when we look at Wall Street, it ranged for a year and a half, and then this has been an impressive breakout so far, and it continues to be improved upon. And in the absence of a clear downward dynamic, and we would all know what that looks like on a chart, then we give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Bond yields are telling us that bond investors don't envisage that the buying from governments is about to collapse over any time frame, and until they change their minds, then we're going to have lower yields, and that allows corporations to source debt at very attractive levels, and they get to increase their dividends and buy back shares, and that also helps the stock market. It also helps the property market, because people can source funding for mortgages at really quite attractive rates and lock them in. The fact that it is global in nature, and that liquidity is fungible, and that just about every central bank is engaged in increasing the amount of liquidity out there, is positive for equities on a global basis. And the fact that we are already into the seventh year of a bull market on Wall Street, and that we have just completed a relatively lengthy range, suggests that valuations are obviously no longer at rock bottom prices, that depending on how one wants to measure them, on a fundamental basis or in an objective way, then stocks are no longer cheap. It would be hard to argue that they're very expensive unless you were to look at the cyclically adjusted PE ratio, but that's not a timing indicator. And what we are presented with is a momentum move, and that momentum is predicated on access to liquidity, and there is plenty of liquidity around. So therefore, it would be rash to have anything other than a bullish aspect right now, despite the fact that we do have short-term overbought conditions, because after we define ranges as explosions waiting to happen, and that means that when the explosion occurs, that it takes most people by surprise in terms of how far it is likely to go, and then we do get short-term overbought conditions in that kind of environment, and that's exactly what we have right now. So in the absence of a downward dynamic to tell us that the short-term overbought condition is about to be corrected, then we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And what there is plenty of evidence of is that a rotation is going on, that the very defensive and higher yielding shares are no longer leading on the upside. They're certainly not going down. But that what we are now starting to see is that more risk is being taken on. So you're getting a rebound in cybersecurity and in biotechnology, and generally speaking, even in the retailers, which is perhaps one of the most embattled of all sectors. So that's generally bullish, and the fact that you have energy prices no longer going down and holding levels that are quite a bit above where they were, where they bottomed, then that's also positive, since energy is a large cap sector, and they had pulled back rather sharply, which had weighed on the stock market overall. So there is a lot going on, and generally this is a more bullish environment overall. And of course, we know that there are risks, and some of the risks are political, and some of them are monetary. And perhaps the greatest political risks are in Europe, where there are a substantial number of elections slated for 2017, and the Italians are going to be voting in a referendum on whether to accept the reform of the Senate later this year, and Renzi has got a vested interest in trying to call that referendum as late as possible to give his poll chances a chance to recover. So we can anticipate that there is going to be volatility in Europe, and the Stoxx 50 right now is testing the region of the 200-day moving average. It really does need to sustain a move above it. A number of European indices, primarily northern European indices, and most particularly the total return DAX index in Germany, have already broken above their respective 200-day MAs, and they're responding to monetary stimulus from the ECB and the potential that European governments will get their act together and deliver fiscal stimulus as well. And that might be increasingly likely if populist political parties gain sway with the elections coming up in Germany, France, and the Netherlands in 2017. So there will be a lot to look at. And of course, we know that ultra-low interest rates for a prolonged period of time create excesses. And when those excesses are eventually unwound, and they will inevitably be unwound at some stage, that it is going to cause pain. But the most important point is that there's no evidence of it just yet. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best.